Blog Talk Radio.
In the beginning was the beat, and the beat was the rhythm of God, and the rhythm of God is the harmony of humanity, and where there is harmony, there is peace.
Thursday night, Us Lifting Us, Dare to Win call, and we have a very, as usual, very interesting and necessary as part of continuing education topic tonight, and the topic is, how do Black people build real power in the era of Trump? And we will be right back in just a minute.
The rhythm plants the seeds of freedom, so we overcome. The rhythm, the drum, beat.
Once again, welcome family to the Dare to Win call. It is necessary that we take action and that we dare to win. The attacks on us from the beginning have never stopped. We've got to dare to win. I am Brother Thurman, and I'm an Us Lifting Us member. And the topic this evening is, how do Black people build real power in the era of Trump? And we invite you to participate in the conversation. And so I want to introduce my co-host, Brother Kim Beasy, who is also a ULU board member. Brother Kim Beasy, how are you doing this evening?
I'm great, Brother Thurman. Good to hear your voice. I'm excited and looking forward to this evening's conversation. Got a lot to talk about, and hopefully that the our audience will join in and share with us, and we'll have a good session.
Yes, well, the topic is a very good topic, and it's a lot that I'm sure you're going to cover. And family members, if you're on a computer and you want to call in with questions or comments, you can call in at 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789, and press the number 1 on your keypad when you're ready to with a question or comment. And also, if you want to or need to reach us online, you can tune into this conversation online at www.usliftingus.com. That's www.usliftingus.com. And when you get to that web page, you look for the gold bar that says Ulu Radio, and you click on that. And when you click on that, you scroll down and you'll see a globe with some headphones, and it says Listen Live, and you click on Listen Live, and that's usliftingus.com, and you click on the Ulu Radio tab. And so, Brother Kimbizi, tell us, what do you mean when you say, when you emphasize the era of Trump?
Brother Thurman, thanks for the question. And it's a critical question. It gets right to, I think, the heart of what we want to talk about. I remember that our elders were fond of saying, the more things change, the more they remain the same. Trump's violent words and actions towards black people and Hispanics and Muslims and women and poor people of color are shocking, but not new. I was looking at an article by the African-American historian Lerone Bennett Jr., who was the longtime editor for Ebony Magazine, and he wrote an article in October of 1989 entitled, The Second Time Around, Will History Repeat Itself and Rob Blacks of the Gains of the 1960s? And I remember reading that article in 1989, Brother Thurman, and was kind of wondering exactly what Brother Bennett was driving at. But he forcefully argued that the civil rights gains of the 1960s, primarily the Civil Rights Act of the Voting Rights Act of 65 and the Civil Rights Bill of 64, he said all of that could be lost during the white backlash of the 1980s. Which brought conservative Ronald Reagan into the White House as president. Bennett chose the title The Second Time Around because he was looking at what happened to black people in the period immediately following the Civil War, which was called the Reconstruction Period, which ran from 1865 until 1877. These were heady and exciting times for black people in the aftermath of the Civil War. The 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments were passed, which ended and abolished slavery, almost. That was the 13th Amendment, which granted citizenship to the formerly enslaved Africans, that was the 14th Amendment, and gave black people the right to vote, that was the 15th Amendment. Blacks at long last were free from the bondage of slavery, which had been legal in the United States since 1619, a period of, and this is important, 251 years. Keep in mind that at that time, America as a country was only 81 years old and had just fought for 4 years the bloodiest war in human history, in which well over 600,000 people died to keep slavery legal. Yet after the Civil War, black people, through the Freedmen's Bureau, through their churches and other organizations, managed to start free public schools, hospitals, elect representatives to Congress and state legislatures. But the white backlash against black progress was vicious and unrelenting, such that by 1877, in the Hayes-Tilden Compromise, the Reconstruction period was halted and whites retook control of all the important centers of power. Black codes, which had been on the books since 1865, went into full effect, and by 1896, the Supreme Court case of Plessy versus Ferguson ruled that segregation would be legal in the United States, separate but equal. And all of us black folks who lived during any portion of the segregation era know it was separate, but it certainly wasn't equal. So what this meant, in fact, was that from 1896 until 1965, black folks could not vote in the South in spite of the 14th and 15th, the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments to the Constitution. For 69 years, even though they had the legal requirements on the books to vote, they could not vote because of the the Klan violence and the other forms of repression put against us by the former slaveholding class in the South. The point that Bennett was driving home was that just like the progress after the Civil War was turned back, the same thing could happen after the progress of the 1960s. And looking back, we know that is exactly what happened. And now, here in 2019, we are witnessing a three-peat. Yes, it is happening for a third time. Whatever progress middle-class black people thought had been gained after 8 years of the Obama presidency have all but vanished in the 3 years that Trump has been in the White House. And it could get much worse. Carol Anderson, who authored a book called White Rage, describes in great detail how great have been the setbacks. Now, we should not despair as we look at what has been done, but we have to get sober, and we have to wake up to the truth. We, black folks, are at war in the United States of America. We're at war, and we have to admit and acknowledge this to ourselves and then ask the question, how do we build real power in this kind of environment and in this kind of climate? Let me pause there and see, Brother Thurman, if we have any questions or if you want to make some comments to what I've said.
Yes, and family members, we invite you to participate in the conversation, and you can reach us at 929-477-2789. 929-477-2789. And that's very revealing, you know, what you've already discussed, and including what Lerone Bennett wrote about. And here we are that, you know, two times, you know, they and the opportunity is there for them to do what they did before. And in my mind, we've got to be very, very vigilant and very, very committed to ourselves, loyal to ourselves, and stay totally committed to ourselves and not be doing what everything that we do to get distracted. See, we cannot accomplish in our greatest good and in our higher form when we are constantly distracted, and that's what the Europeans are very good at, and so they're distracting us, you know, in the months of October, November, December with a bunch of foolishness and evilness and misguided information. And so I want you to keep your thought going. And family members, if you got any questions or comments, please just dial the number 929-477-2789 and press the number 1 on your keypad.
You know, Brother Thurman, one of the things that was, when you look at this historical record, one thing that leaps out at you is that during the height of these periods of repression, one of the things that black folks did extremely well was we became self-sufficient.
Self-sufficient, yes. Yes.
Sister Nanana was sending me some communication, and she simply said that, yeah, we have to get back to doing for self. So black communities found ways to meet their own needs, to provide for their own protection, and to create community spaces where we could thrive and flourish in spite of the repression and the violence that was being waged against us. And I think it was Brother Hikima that pointed out that in the early 1900s, when this violence was at a really all-time high, was also at the same time that black communities produced these black Wall Streets that existed all across the country, from Oklahoma to New York City to Durham, North Carolina, and to Auburn Avenue in Atlanta, Georgia. We produced communities because we began to take care of the business of supplying our own goods and services. In other words, we were we were operating an alternative economy that gave us the ability to be self-sufficient. We cooperated and we shared our resources in a way that enabled us to take care of ourselves. That's a very important lesson, because what it seems that we've been doing over time is we go through these periods of repression, we work together to take care of ourselves, and then when the repression lessens up a little bit, we abandon what we have built and begin to operate within the larger society and lose those institutions that sustained us during the hard times. And part of that has to do with us thinking, or erroneously I would argue, that somehow America is going to change its stripes and become a welcoming environment for us. But when we look at the history and we realize that it was the most violent strata of American society, the gun-toting, the whiskey drinking, the rapists, the mobs, the lynching groups, those are the ones that secured this country for white folks. And whenever white folks feel threatened, those are the ones that come out of the woodwork and unleash these reigns of terror that we see happening across the country. So I have come to the thought, as many I'm sure have, that we have to wake up to the fact that we are at war in this country, or at least this country is at war with us, whether we want to admit it or not. I mean, the warfare is chemical, it's biological, it's certainly physical, it's psychological. So there's this unrelenting struggle against black life in this country. And so if we think that we're going to somehow operate within the institutions of this country and be successful and thrive over time, the historical record simply says something very different. We go through these 70-year periods of repression. There's maybe a 5 or 8 year respite where things look like they're getting better, and then we go through another 70-year cycle of seeing the gains that we fought and bled and died for get wiped out. And that, I think, is really pressing upon us in this era more so than in previous times, because now the stakes are extremely high. The consequences of not making correct decisions have very serious possibilities for us and for our survival, not only for us as a people, but for America as a whole. Things, because of global warming and the impending climate catastrophe, we have to recognize that we are in a very different time period now, and we simply cannot afford to walk around half awake and intoxicated when we need to be vigilant and working very intentionally for our survival and for our ability to thrive.
Yeah, I'd like to add, brother, that when you talk about the war that's being waged on us, my opinion, just in terms of doing, you know, like a public polling of our folks, I think that because of the intentional miseducation and distractions, including being intoxicated by whatever, that the mass numbers are not aware that war is being waged. If we were to ask everybody, every sister and brother that we ran into, what are the top three wars that's going on the planet right now? A whole lot of them would never, ever say the war against African people, the war, or it's a war being waged here in this country, even though it's not just here. And then if you look at the what's going on when it comes to our health. And so you mentioned, you know, that we're being chemically made ill and dying from various forms. But if we're not into our natural and even our spiritual mind, a huge portion are not paying attention, because if they were, then the record in terms of our well-being, our health would be tremendously better, instead of there being increasing epidemic of very bad health. And so I think that there's a lot that the people are not paying attention to. And so if you watch in the next few weeks all the way to January the 2nd, the conversations and people would be inquiring about, which is telling you what their intentions are for these next days and next 30, 60, 90 days, is telling you that they're distracted with things that's not about us. And we've got to maximize on our survival. We've got to be totally in love and loyal to us and our culture and our way. And the more that we delve into their way, which is where we've gone wrong, it doesn't work out for us. It's like Tulsa, Oklahoma, and Black Wall Street and others, they bombed and shot the people and brutalized and robbed the people, and then the people came back and with their creativity and built back again. And then at some point, the way it got lost again, part of what happened is they decided to go over when they thought things were good and friendly again, and so they decided to go to the other side of the tracks to break bread with them and spend money with them, and they start liking it over there. And Brother Kambiza, we've got somebody.
Okay.
Somebody wanted to make a question, got a question or a comment. If you're okay, we'll do that.
Certainly, let's hear them.
All right, caller with the last four numbers, 8324. Please give us your name and tell us where you're calling from.
Peace, good evening. This is Sister Q. I'm calling from Florida.
Greetings.
Peace.
Sister Q.
I don't believe in an era of Trump. I'll just have to say it like that. I think that America has a policy. It's always been its policy, and it's going to always be its policy. So what we need to do all the time. I think we were greatly distracted by Barack Obama's presidency, even though it was during his presidency that Muammar Gaddafi was assassinated. And since that time, no one has spoken of a gold-backed single currency for the continent of Africa again. So it's not a one-man chumpy that we have to deal with from time to time. We got to stay focused on what we need to do as a collective worldwide community all the time. That's what I wanted to say. And I did like the historical breaking down of what was happening here from time to, over time, which to me proves the fact that there is no Trump era. It's just a continuum. And we need to stay focused on us and not look at, it doesn't matter who's on the hot seat, because they're going to do what they do. That's the American way. That's what I wanted to say.
Well said, Sister Q. Good to hear your voice. And I couldn't agree with you more.
Thank you.
As a matter of fact, I mean, when we think of, when we understand white domination, you're absolutely right. It's ongoing. It never ceases. And if we use Francis Welsing's definition, a system of global domination and control by people who classify themselves as white, who have determined to dominate and control people they classify as non-white for the purpose of genetic survival. And we know that that program works out in all nine areas of people activity. So you're absolutely right. There were some very serious setbacks, even under the Obama presidency, and we don't fool ourselves about that. So the point that we're driving at is we are at war, and when we come to that realization that we are at war, then the next question comes down to then what do we do? Brother Thurman, you said something just before we took Sister Q's call about the chemical warfare that's being waged against the black community. And the thought crossed my mind, just so that people don't miss the point that we're making, all you have to do is any food package that you buy in a grocery store, turn it over and look at the ingredients on the label. And when you see the various chemicals that's in the food, and the overwhelming majority of that is detrimental to our health, then the chemical warfare becomes very clear. Not only is the food adulterated and compromised, but then when we eat it and get sick, then that's when the other half of the chemical warfare kicks in. When the American Medical Association and the pharmaceutical industry jump in, and then it's all over but the shouting. You know, we're just bombarded with prescriptions and faulty medical information and practices that keep us sick and lead us to a quick grave. So Sister Q is absolutely on point, in my view, making the point that this is an ongoing war, and we have to behave in a way that, A, we are aware of the war, and we're taking the necessary steps to not only fight the war, but to win the war.
Yes, and I'd just like to add that we've got to have carry on conversations with each other that's speaking to the positive, to the direction that we must go. And so if we are having conversations now about the fried turkey we're going to have and this overweight white person flying through the air next month, we're having foolish conversation that's carrying us nowhere. And our conversation should always be about, and you mentioned earlier, self-sufficiency. And so in those periods that you talked about where we rose up, we were self-sufficient, but we were getting busy doing something all the time. There was never amongst those people and those ancestors that we knew in the country, they never used the word chilling. And now we're in an era where a whole bunch of people are using that word. So what are you doing this weekend? What were you doing? So, I was chilling with Kim Beazy or whatever. We need to throw that word in the ash can of history, like John Henry Clark said, because we are not in a position to be playing with our destruction. And we've got to, like you mentioned Frances Welsing, and then, you know, her very good friend, and that had a lot to do with guiding some of the language she used, Brother Neely Fuller, his book, his workbook, called The Code System for short, but it's a book of codes for us to follow. And we need some codes, you know, code of conduct, whatever you want to call it. It can be including the laws of Mayotte, but we have no a code of conduct for African people. We really do, but if we're not using it, then you could say that our code of conduct is really the conduct of Europeans. We're duplicating what they do. So whatever they celebrate, we celebrate. And however they pray, we pray. And that makes, it doesn't make sane African people. And so we can quickly turn a lot of this around. And so as you said about the food, we've been poisoned by the food, and then you get sick, and then who do you go to? Them? That's madness. Today I saw a picture of black folks lined up, just happily trusting the nurses that was giving them a flu shot that had syphilis in it. And then the caption underneath it, and you would take a flu shot now? But I mean, I know just several days ago, a white male was, just trying to coax an elder into taking a flu shot. And the elder hesitated. And then he went on to emphasize and said, at your age, if you don't get the flu shot, then if you got the flu, you're subject to get pneumonia. And he was really doing a sales game. And it was obvious.
Mm-hmm.
But a whole bunch of our people fall for it. And then they get sick and they go to them. But there's models around. So Dick Gregory, long before he made his transition, he had mentioned that he and his wife had 40-some years had passed, and they hadn't, between the two of them, filled a prescription. And my mind said, what? I'd never heard or nobody expressed such a thing because most of the people were not operating on a higher level of consciousness about this food and health thing like he was.
Right. Look, Brother Thurman,
yes.
I just wanted to, Sister Q made one other point that I wanted to touch on. She brought in the need for us to not only think about what we're dealing with here in the United States, but to have a global perspective. She raised the assassination of Muammar Gaddafi in Libya, and how that set back the whole movement for us to have a gold-backed currency that we control. And so you had made the comment that it's important that we have these conversations among ourselves where we can teach one another, share information, expand the conversation, so that when we do come to making decisions about what we need to do, it's a fully thought out decision and a wise course of action.
Good word. You're so right, brother. Brother Kambizi, we do have another caller. Do you want to take that break first, or you want to go ahead and get this caller? Because we got the conversation going.
Let's take the call and then take the break.
All right, brother. Family, we've got another caller. The last four numbers are 3440-3440. Please give us your name and tell us where you're calling from.
Greetings, family and listeners. This is Brother Shabaka, and I'm calling from Baltimore, Maryland. Greeting to you, a very important topic that you're talking about. And I wanted to sort of like follow up on Sister Q, who made, I thought, a very good analysis that what we are experiencing is not just happening in the era of Trump, but it's a continuation, it's a process and a continuation. And Brother Thurman, you brought up Neely Fuller. We need to really refer back to his writing, particularly dealing with the codes that he intellectually formulated and identified. We need to look at that because we're being highly distracted. You brought up about how we're distracted with regard to health, but Neely laid out a whole system of how we were being distracted and manipulated. Right now we are, if it's not health, with the fried chicken sandwich, it's football. This is football season. These multimillionaire football players are there to absorb our energies and our thoughts. Right now we're amidst of the so-called impeachment inquiry, and also the decision on DACA being brought before the Supreme Court. But did we know that Brother Byron Allen, multimillionaire black media mongo, is suing Comcast? And I think he named also in the suit Al Sharpton, all right, for what he feels was a disruption, in pursuing media that he thought should have been granted to black people, particularly when everybody else has gained premise on that. So it's a whole bunch of distractions going around. We're not getting the information, and the information, we're being flooded by other people's information, and we're being flooded by other people's assessment of the information that they present. And even to the point, and I'm not here to deny that there's definitely a warming of the climate, but right now there is no black person who is also given an assessment of the impact of climate change. We basically pick up that information from Europeans and others. And so and you can't trust them because they lie, and we know that they lie. So there's an ulterior motive behind what they are bringing forth to us. And we're trying to determine what it is that the alternative motive is, even when faced with, you know, some of the things that Brother Kambizi said, the impact of the climate manipulation and changes on our human lives. So that was the only thing I wanted to say. I thought it was a very good point that Sister Q brought up, that you all brought up regarding the food thing, the health thing, and, of course, the constant manipulation that Brother Neely Fuller said we need to be aware of, and we need to be aware of them. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to vent.
All right. Brother Kambizi, I know you got some more to cover, and we are making good use of the time. And so do you want to take this short break, and or do you want to just go continue on?
Let's take a quick break, Brother Thurman, and then come back on the other side of the break and pick up where we left off.
Family, welcome back. We want to continue the call, and we're having a very good discussion, and there's so much more of it that we need to really put our heads together on a regular basis. And the topic was, how do black people build real power? How do black people build real power? And Brother Kambizi, let's continue with the conversation.
Brother Thurman, the question that we've talked now about the time period that we're in. Now I want to get to the heart of the matter tonight in talking about real power.
Yes.
For the past 60 years at least, we have expended a tremendous amount of time and energy pursuing what I would call secondary power. We've elected members to the school board, the county commission, the city council, the mayor's office, state and federal representatives, even the presidency, and what do we have to show for all of this work? All of those elected positions are influenced and controlled by economic power. Let me say that again. All of those elected positions are influenced and controlled by economic power. All those elected officials have to run for office, and so they turn to the corporations and wealthy individuals to fund their campaigns. And in turn, they have to do the bidding of those who fund them or lose their office. They hold their office supposedly to represent the masses of black people, but when it comes to the critical votes, They bend to whoever pays their campaign bill. The lesson is obvious. In order to have political power, which I call secondary power, we first must have economic power, which I call primary power. The genius, I think, of Us Lifting Us is that we are arguing for a global alternative cooperative economy to serve the needs of Black African-descended people all over the planet and to build primary power. I would think that given the realization of where we actually are, that we are at war in this country, we fool ourselves to continue trying to build secondary power. We must get down to the business of building primary power. The good news is the present era in which we live is dramatically different in one very important way. Global capitalism is weaker now than it has ever been over the past 300 years. And Black people have more tools to organize a global economy than ever before. Our communication is instantaneous, and we can reach millions of people. I think this is staggering. The agency for this undertaking is completely in our hands. We don't have to march on Washington. We don't have to petition Congress. We don't have to get a case before the Supreme Court. We don't have to beg corporations to hire our children or pay factory workers a livable wage. We don't even have to wait until 2020 to elect the quote-unquote right president. In the words of Marcus Garvey, up you mighty race, accomplish what you will. The question we have to ask ourselves is, what are we willing? What are we willing? With $1.3 trillion flowing through Black fingers annually, when we make the decision to pool just a fraction of our wealth into a cooperative business model and meet our own needs, we become an irresistible force and nothing can stop us. Let me pause there, Brother Thurman, and see if there's any comments or questions either from you or from those who are listening.
Yes, once again, family members, if you got a question or comment, you can reach us at 929-477-2789, 929-477-2789, and press the number 1 when you're ready to speak, and we'll put you on the air. And I would add that we've got to be very, very busy and diligent in outlining our process and stick to it and be totally committed to it. And use examples, you know, we are the example, but others have taken what they learned from us, including our ancient ancestors, and claimed it like they're the originators of it, but they're not. But in any case, if we watched other people, you know, non-white people that have been brutalized, including Japanese, Chinese, and on, they are going about their business totally loyal and committed to their objective of winning, and they're doing it just as quietly. And so we're not seeing them, you know, out protesting, because they take an action, you know, with powerful economics and just a loyalty to their people, to their homeland. And they're getting much better results. And they're getting the kind of results that we would get if we were taking a total day-to-day loyalty. And so, as I said before, over the next few weeks, our conversation should be about enjoying gathering with the families and the new babies and all of that. Absolutely, that's part of our culture. But our conversation, if we're gonna have fun, let it be our fun, some real, real genuine fun. You know, chase the babies around the yard or whatever, out on the farm. But we've got to have some conversation that's always in a healthy direction. So we're going to gather together outside or wherever and have some food. Have food. Have food all day long, but healthy food. You know, not, you know, hogs behind. You know, we can't do that. We already know the evidence is that it does not work. And so if we want to get liberated, we've got to be totally loyal about the liberation. And we get good results. You know, I've seen during the unjust Vietnam War when brothers had loyalty about doing the dab, and every day when they did the dab, they said, what's the word? And the word would always be us, and the word would always be black people. And so that repetition of black people, us, out of that, brothers made a declaration that they would not fight each other. And I got to see months go by, no brothers ever fighting each other. So that's just an example of what we can accomplish by being loyal to our cause and in love with each other.
Thank you, Brother Thurman. And you're right. What excites me about us lifting us is that this is the building of primary power. We say that our goal is to build and maintain the economic machinery for economic self-determination. That's what we're doing. We're building the machinery, and we're passing it forward to future generations that enable us to have the capacity for economic self-determination. This is something that is completely under our control to do. What we in Us Lifting Us say, this as a global cooperative mechanism, you pay $50 for the annual fee and you become a member. And once you pay that $50 annual fee, you become a full voting member. As soon as you're able after that, you purchase a co-op unit. $1,000 purchases one unit. And this is the money that we use to start other co-op businesses. Attend the annual Us Lifting Us annual meeting. And it's held the third weekend in March of each year. And it'll be that same weekend in 2020. You help us decide and vote on the policies that we think will help black people the most, so that this is real democracy, and we've seen it in our annual meetings over and over and over. A question will be on the floor, a decision has to be made, and we talk it through, we discuss it, and then we come to consensus about the course of action that we should take. Every member has one vote, and each vote counts. Now, that's very different from corporations in this country. The way the corporations operate is each shareholder has a vote for every share that they own. So if you own Nike stock, for example, and you own 50,000 shares, then that gives you 50,000 votes when you come to the annual shareholders meeting. And it becomes very clear that in these corporations, whether it's AT&T, whether it's Nike, or whether it's Comcast or whatever it is, it's a very small number of people that hold the majority of the shares. And so that's how we find ourselves in a situation where 1% of the population are making decisions that impact the 99%, and the 99% have no voice in that decision-making process. So we break out of that by inviting our members at Us Lifting Us, one co-op unit, whether you have one co-op unit or 1,000 co-op units, you only have one vote. And so your voice and the voice of everyone in the room, we have the opportunity to practice real democracy. And it's hard to understand that when we live in this country where there are so few places where real democracy even happens. We have the illusion of democracy in the United States, but very rarely real democracy. And then when even the distorted and the truncated democracy that we do have in this country, you know, when white folks get nervous, they come after even that. So they start taking people off the voting rolls and all other kinds of manipulations to reduce the voting power of the population. So when you participate in ULU, that's real, genuine democracy. And lastly, we invite you to actively participate in the work of running the cooperative. That's what cooperative economics is. Not only are you a co-op member, not only do you purchase a co-op share, but you also serve on a committee. You use your gifts and talents in ways that help the co-op to handle its business. We become a family, a global family, building real primary power, having the capacity to feed, clothe, shelter ourselves, provide our own energy, our own health care. We educate our own children. And all of that, we do it without having to ask anybody for permission. That is what we are advocating that we begin to do. That's what we are saying. It is time for us as black people to rise up and to will this power and to use it to the survival of our people and to the rebuilding of the planet, quiet as it's kept. Let me pause there and see if there are questions or comments, Brother Thurman.
Yes, currently on the switchboard, we don't have anybody, but you can still call us at 929-477-2789. 929-477-2789. And you're so right. And so that opportunity that you just the model that Us Lifting Us has well organized and in place, we can do so much very, very quickly. You know, not 10 years from now or 50 or 100 years from now. Very, very quickly by cooperating with each other. And I think when you talked about the investment unit. I think if there was, you know, 1,000 sisters and brothers, which could be easily done in most any city, not just here, but in any city in Africa, a town in Africa, 1,000, just 1,000 people. And if they each bought an investment unit of $1,000, what would that be? $1 million? And what could
That's
we
right.
do? How many different businesses could we? And then the family members, if you haven't thought about it, just think about it. And the next time you go in a big place like a store or a hardware store, wherever, huge facility, I don't like calling their names, but anyway, just look at the size of the building and just imagine when you walked in the door that building, and whether it sold food or hardware items or whatever it sells, that everything that they're selling in there, the whole building, the whole parking lot, the whole grounds, you're a member owner. And when you go in the door, you've got to say so about whatever you see that you think is not being done properly. But not only that, you've got an opportunity to be a member, owner, and a worker. And then the other thing is that it would also bring forth, here it is, we would be employing our own. And we've got an opportunity to be working with each other where we're not being racially harassed, which is something that our folks continuously go through every time we go into a new work environment. We could be free of that, all our own, owned and controlled, and positioning ourselves where we know that we're leaving a legacy behind. Because, the word is that if you're working on the job for somebody else, you can't leave that behind and will it to your babies. But what we can do with these cooperatively owned businesses around the world, we can do that. And we've got to be real serious about making sure that we are not wasting time. Because as Baba Hakima wrote, he said, the greatest waste of time is to be busy doing the wrong thing. And so over and over, whatever subject you want to pick, we've been doing the wrong thing. So the capitalistic thing is the wrong model. It's not the original ancient model like the cooperative economics is. So we talked about the food, but whatever. We've got the, and so Brother Shabaka talked about, they lied to us. And so we talk about weather, but we need to know the whole deal, and it's more than climate change. But we've got to get on the right side, and we've got to get in touch with the divine mind that we have within each one of us and use that, so that when we are looking for answers and we know that they lie, we need to get back in touch with our inner self. And so a whole bunch of our elders and ancestors that some of us grew up around in the country, they knew how to get an answer. Because mm-hmm. they knew how to be quiet. Mm-hmm. The ancient Africans said the higher side of sanity requires being quiet more. But we need to use that as part of our weapons of liberation.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
We need to list out everything that we must do. We must grow our own food. That's got to be on the list. But it also means that if we're going to grow our own food, somebody got to get out there and do some work outside.
Mm-hmm. You're right. You know, I was thinking about that. There's a global cooperative that Us Lifting Us has looked at in doing our own research, and it's called Mondragon. It's in the northern region of Spain called the Basque region, Basque. And what was startling to me when I first was introduced to the Mondragon concept was they started a cooperative in 1956. And in the span of 20 years, they grew that cooperative to where it was doing in excess of $20 billion in annual revenue, and employing upwards of 60,000 of their own people. So when we talk about building a global cooperative economy, this is not something that takes 100 years to do. This is something that can be done in a generation. It's a matter of the will. We simply have to look ourselves first in the mirror and then look each other in the eye and agree that it is time that we do this. There's a quote that says, "There's nothing more powerful than an idea whose time has come." Mm-hmm. Well, our time is now. We are inviting everyone that hears this broadcast to join with us to achieve the Us Lifting Us mission of building, maintaining, and passing to future generations the machinery of economic self-determination. In other words, build primary power. Develop the capacity to translate our ideas and thoughts and values into concrete action, and to protect ourselves and to give guidance and leadership once again, not only to Blacks in the diaspora, Blacks on the continent, but to give leadership to the planet. Because to your point, Brother Thurman, there's a lack of values. This is the death culture that we find ourselves in. And in the breast of the African woman and man is life culture. And so we've got to bring that life culture and make it walk up and down the sidewalks in these cities where we live to maintain for ourselves and to maintain for everyone on the planet. And that is well within our ability to do once we make the decision that that's what we're going to do.
I agree, brother. And you said it, once we make the decision. And so there's a piece on the Us Lifting Us Facebook page today that says our survival depends on us doing things that's in our favor. And the last line says either we own, which means we make the proper decision in our favor, or we'll be owned.
Mm.
And it shouldn't be difficult for any of us in our mind to say, well, which would I prefer for us the babies to be in which position would I choose? To be, to own and own our communities, own our security, own our food, own our future? The other is to be owned.
And you know, I, Brother Thurman, we've been in the situation of being owned, and we know that didn't work. And when we read our history, we've seen how we were when we were the owners of our own institutions and builders of our own institutions. And so we're advocating that that's what we do, that we own our own, build our own, run our own, and then pass it forward to our children.
So right. It'll be so good, and it'll look good. It'll feel good, brother. So if I could gather up with all of you and the sisters and brothers that's on this call, you know, on the internet, and we could just gather up this weekend or whatever weekend and just have a good time, feeling good and being righteous and going in our great big, you know, 100,000 square foot Us Lifting Us marketplace. It would feel
right.
So good. So we need to put that vision in our mind, and we got to help our people withdraw from the foolishness and the ones that's going to be going and partying and celebrating pilgrims that were not good people. We got to help them, because actually the ones that's going to celebrate the pilgrims and this other character flying through the air, they are giving a silent vote to say, I'd rather be owned instead of own. Family members, Brother Kimbizi, you brought some wonderful information, excellent topic, and excellent background that you brought about what has happened in the past. And we don't need to have this this third time that we've lost out and we were taken out because we were too busy being distracted and chilling. And family members, we're here every Thursday, and we invite you to stay with us, ideally everybody that's on this call that you already are a member. And if you're not, please go to usliftingus.com, usliftingus.com, and take a very good look at Us Lifting Us. And also on the web page, you'll be able to leave your contact information if you need someone from the home office to call you. Just make sure you leave your information, and the home office phone number is 404-592-2780, 404-592-2780. And Brother Kimbizi and all of the sisters and brothers that were on the call, we thank you so much for being with us, and we will be back again next week. Be well and be safe. Be well and be safe.
Peace, brother.